This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Yud Ches, Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah presents another teaching that pertains to the Shida, the wooden cart, and added to the discussion is another two larger wooden utensils that often go together with the Shida, and they are the Teva and the Migdal. Teva is a kind of a chest, the Migdal is a cabinet. The Mishnah says, if one of the legs of a car, chest, or cabinet came off, the halacha is, afal pisha mekablin, even though the utensil can still hold things, tahorin, it is no longer susceptible to tumah, for since it can no longer continue to serve as a container in a normal manner, and you look at this shita teva migdal, and it looks broken. One of the legs is broken. A bystander would regard that as broken. Indeed, the halacha agrees with that assessment. It is considered broken, and therefore, since it's not a halacha kli, it is not susceptible to tumah. Now, we learned back in Perek Tes Vav Mishnah Aleph, and this was reviewed in Mishnah Aleph of our Perek, that if a wooden utensil is very large to the point that it holds 40 saw, it is then not susceptible to tumah. The Mishnah presents a dispute regarding a wooden utensil which does not hold 40 saw of liquid if it's in its normal position, but if you maneuver it, you put, let's say, in a tilt, it's able to hold at least 40 saw of liquid. The question is, do we say that since there is a way that this utensil can hold that minimum amount, that therefore it is not susceptible to tumah or not? The Mishnah says, v'she'enin mekablin kedarka, regarding a wooden utensil, which if you use it in the normal way, without doing some maneuver, without tilting it or anything like that, it does not hold 40 saw. But if you, let's say, tilt it, it's able to hold 40 saw. Rabbi Yossi metame. Rabbi Yossi said that such a wooden utensil is susceptible to tumah. We disregard the fact that if you tilt it, it could hold 40 saw. Rabbi Yossi holds that's irrelevant. Since when it's in its normal position, it cannot hold 40 saw, it's small enough to be in the category of the kind of wooden utensil which is susceptible to tumah. But the Mishnah clearly indicates this is only the view of Rabbi Yossi. The majority opinion of the Chachamim disagree. The opinion of the Chachamim, since if you reposition the kli a bit, if you tilt it, let's say, it is able to hold 40 saw, it is judged as a wooden utensil that is too large to be susceptible to tumah. The remainder of our perek and the beginning of the next perek discusses the tumah rules that apply to a bed. Bed in the time of the Mishnah consisted of a wooden frame into which a netting of rope was woven. The legs of the bed would be fit into these hollow wooden blocks so that the legs shouldn't get moldy from the moist ground. Sometimes the wooden blocks would then sit on these wooden supports. In some cases, the beds had bed posts, and in our Mishnah, these are made of wood. They would be placed not at the four corners, but in the middle of the board at the head of the bed, in the middle of the board at the foot of the bed, and then a rod would go across, lying on each of the posts, and then they would place some kind of material, let that drape over the rod, creating a kind of a tent. This would protect the person in the bed from insects. And sometimes the beds then had a metallic covering on the boards, which was there for ornamental purposes. The Mishnah discusses each of these parts and the question of whether they are susceptible to tumah. To be sure, the bed frame itself, without question, was susceptible to tumah, even though it's made of wood and doesn't have a container. But since the bed is something that is meant for people to put their weight on, to lie on, there is no requirement that the object be a container to be subject to tumah. The question is, as far as these other parts that were used in tandem with the actual bed frame, and we're talking about where these parts are removable, certainly if they are part of the permanent structure of the bed itself, there'd be no question that they would be susceptible to tumah along with the actual bed frame. The question is, what if they're removable? So then that depends on, is the specific part in question considered a kli in its own right, a kind of kli that is susceptible to tumah? The Mishnah says, v'nachlite hamita, wooden bedposts, v'chamar, and the supports, which were sometimes also used, they would hold up the malbanim, the blocks that the legs of the bed were inserted into, v'chipoy, and a plating of metal that was added to the bed frame Tahorin. All of these parts are not susceptible to Tumah. The bedposts are not mekabel Tumah because they're made of wood and they're not containers. And again, they're not permanently part of the structure of the bed itself. Therefore, they're not mekabel Tumah. And the chamor supports that went under the melbein blocks are not mekabel Tumah. For these two, they're made of wood and they're not considered containers. They function purely as supports of the malbin blocks. They're not containers, and they're made of wood, therefore, they're not makabel tumah. And the chipui, metal covering, plating on the bed frame, is not makabel tumah. For since it serves merely as a plating for wood, the plating itself, even if you know physically it's made of metal, is halachically judged as wood. And since it's not an actual container, it's just the covering, it's just there for ornamental purposes, it is not makabel tumah. The Mishnah then says, Ein tame ela mita umalbein. Only parts of the bed that are susceptible to tumah are the bed frame itself and the malbein. Again, it's that hollow block of wood into which the legs of the bed were inserted. Since the legs of the bed were inserted into these malbein blocks in a permanent fashion, the blocks are considered part and parcel of the bed, so just as the bed itself, the bed frame is mekabel tumah, so are the malbein blocks. The Mishnah adds, though, umalbeni b'nei Levi taharin, but the blocks used by the Leviim are not mekabel tumah, because the Leviim would separate these malbein blocks. When they traveled to the Beis HaMikdash to serve there, they wouldn't schlep their whole bed with them, but they would bring malbein blocks, so it'd be easier to borrow other people's beds. So since in the case of the Leviim, they kept the malbein blocks separate from the bed, they are not considered one with the bed. So though the bed itself, the bed frame is mekabel tumah, the malbein blocks of the bed in the case of the Leviim were not mekabel tumah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.